Be encouraged. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 205. This is the daily podcast where we are reading through the entire Bible in just a year. My name is Steve Wabb and I'm your host, and I'm happy you're here today. Our reading is 2 Kings 16 through 20, after which I'll have some comments. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, God, you've called us to be yours. We know, Lord, that you love us and that you have good plans for us. What a comfort that is. I pray, God, that as we read your word today, you speak to us. Help us to understand what you have for us today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin.
2 Kings chapter 16. In the 17th year of Pekah, son of Remaliah, Ahaz, son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel, and even sacrificed his son in the fire, engaging in the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the high places, on the hilltops, and under every spreading tree. Then Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem and besieged Ahaz, but they could not overpower him. At that time, Rezin, king of Aram, recovered Elath for Aram by driving out the people of Judah. Edomites then moved into Elath and have lived there to this day. Ahaz sent messengers to say to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, "I am your servant and vassal. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Aram and of the king of Israel, who are attacking me." And Ahaz took the silver and gold found in the temple of the Lord and in the treasuries of the royal palace and sent it as a gift to the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria complied by attacking Damascus and capturing it. He deported its inhabitants to Kir and put Rezin to death. Then King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. He saw an altar in Damascus and sent to Uriah the priest a sketch of the altar, with detailed plans for its construction. So Uriah the priest built an altar in accordance with all the plans that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus and finished it before King Ahaz returned. When the king came back from Damascus and saw the altar, he approached it and presented offerings on it. He offered up his burnt offering and grain offering, poured out his drink offering, and splashed the blood of his fellowship offerings against the altar. As for the bronze altar that stood before the Lord, he brought it from the front of the temple, from between the new altar and the temple of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the new altar. King Ahaz then gave these orders to Uriah the priest. On the large new altar, offer the morning burnt offering and the evening grain offering, the king's burnt offering and his grain offering, and the burnt offering of all the people of the land, and their grain offering and their drink offering. Splash against this altar the blood of all the burnt offerings and sacrifices, but I will use the bronze altar for seeking guidance. And Uriah the priest did just as King Ahaz had ordered. King Ahaz cut off the side panels and removed the basins from the movable stands. He removed the sea from the bronze bulls that supported it and set it on a stone base. He took away the Sabbath canopy that had been built at the temple and removed the royal entryway outside the temple of the Lord in deference to the king of Assyria. As for the other events of the reign of Ahaz and what he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? Ahaz rested with his ancestors and was buried with them in the city of David, and Hezekiah his son succeeded him as king.
2 Kings chapter 17. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea the son of Elah became the king of Israel in Samaria. He ruled for 9 years. Hoshea did what was sinful in the eyes of the Lord, but not as bad as the kings of Israel before him. King Shalmaneser of Assyria came up against him, and Hoshea became his servant and paid taxes to him. But the king of Assyria found that Hoshea had been making plans against him. Hoshea had sent men to King So of Egypt instead of giving taxes to the king of Assyria. He had done this year after year, so the king of Assyria shut him up and put him in chains in prison. Then the king of Assyria came against all the land. He went up to Samaria and kept soldiers around it for 3 years. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria in battle and took the people of Israel away to Assyria. He had them live in Hala and Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. This happened because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God. He had brought them up from the land of Egypt, from under the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, but they worshipped other gods. They walked in the ways of the nations the Lord had driven out from the people of Israel, and they walked in the ways the kings of Israel had started. The people of Israel did things in secret which were not right against the Lord their God. They built high places for themselves in all their towns, from the smallest town to the strongest city. They set up holy objects of the false goddess Asherim on every high hill and under every green tree. There they burned special perfume on all the high places, as the nations did which the Lord carried away from them. They did what was bad and made the Lord angry. They worshipped false gods about which the Lord had told them, "You must not do this." The Lord told Israel and Judah of the danger through all his men who told what would happen in the future. He said, "Turn from your sinful ways and obey my laws. Keep all the laws which I gave your fathers and which I gave you through my servants and men of God." But they did not listen. They were strong-willed like their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. They turned away from his laws and his agreement which he made with their fathers. They turned away when he told them of danger. They followed false gods and became empty. They followed the nations around them, but the Lord had told them not to act like them. They turned away from all the laws of the Lord their God and made objects to look like false gods. They made two calves and an object to look like the false goddess Asherah, and they worshipped all the stars of heaven and worked for Baal. Then they gave their sons and daughters as burnt gifts. They told the future and used witchcraft. They sold themselves to do what is sinful in the eyes of the Lord, and they made him angry. The Lord was very angry with Israel and put them away from his eyes. None was left except the family of Judah. Even Judah did not keep the laws of the Lord their God. They walked in the ways which Israel had started, and the Lord turned away from all the children of Israel and sent trouble upon them. He gave them over to those who destroyed the land until he had put them away from his eyes. When he had torn Israel from the family of David, they made Jeroboam, the king of Nebat, king. Then Jeroboam drove Israel away from following the Lord. He led them into sin. And the people of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam. They did not turn away from them until the Lord put Israel away from his eyes. He spoke through all his servants who tell what will happen in the future that he would do this. So Israel was carried away from their own land to Assyria until this day. The king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim. He had them live in the cities of Samaria in place of the people of Israel. So they took Samaria for their own and lived in its cities. At the beginning of their living there, they did not fear the Lord. So the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. They said to the king of Assyria, "The nations you have carried away to the cities of Samaria do not know the way of the God of the land." So he has sent lions among them to kill them because they do not know the way of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria told them, "Take to Samaria one of the religious leaders you brought from there. Let him go and live in Samaria, and let him teach them the way of the God of the land." So one of the religious leaders they had taken away from Samaria came and lived at Bethel, and he taught them how they should worship the Lord. But every nation still made gods of its own. They put them in the houses of the high places which the people of Samaria had made. The people of every nation did this in the cities where they lived. The men of Babylon made the false god Succoth-Benoth. The men of Cuth made the false god Nergal. The men of Hamath made the false god Ashima. The Avites made the false gods Nibhaz and Tartak. And the Sepharvites burned their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Anammelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. They feared the Lord also, and yet they chose from among themselves the religious leaders of the high places. These leaders gave the gifts for them in the house of the high places. So the people feared the Lord, but they worshipped their own gods also. They followed the way of the nations from which they had been taken away. To this day they follow the ways of times past. They do not follow the laws or the word which the Lord told the sons of Jacob, whom he gave the name Israel. The Lord had made an agreement and told them, "You must not fear other gods. You must not put your faces to the ground in front of them, or worship them, or give gifts to them. But fear the Lord,
who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and with a strong arm. Put your faces to the ground before him, and give him your gifts. Obey forever the laws and the word which he wrote for you. Do not fear other gods. Do not forget the agreement I have made with you, and do not honor other gods with fear. Fear the Lord your God, and he will save you from those who hate you. But they did not listen. They followed the ways of times past. These nations feared the Lord, but they worshipped their false gods also. Their children and grandchildren did the same, and they do as their fathers did to this day. 2 Kings chapter 18. In the third year of Hoshea the son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to rule. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. Hezekiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He took away the high places. He broke down the holy pillars used in worship and cut down the Asherah. And he broke in pieces the brass snake that Moses had made. For until those days, the people of Israel burned special perfume to it. It was called Nehushtan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah before him or after him. For he held to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept his laws, which the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. Hezekiah did well in every place he went. He turned against the king of Assyria and did not work for him. He destroyed the Philistines as far as Gaza and its land, from the smallest town to the strongest city. In the fourth year of King Hezekiah, the seventh year of Elah's son Hoshea, king of Israel, King Shalmaneser of Assyria came to fight against Samaria. His army gathered around it. At the end of 3 years, they took the city. Samaria was taken by Assyria in the sixth year of Hezekiah and the ninth year of King Hoshea of Israel. Then the king of Assyria carried the people of Israel away against their will to Assyria. He had them live in Hala and on the Habor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes, because the people of Israel did not obey the voice of the Lord their God. They sinned against his agreement and even all that the Lord's servant Moses had told them. They would not listen or obey. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, King Sennacherib of Assyria came and fought against all the strong cities of Judah and took them. Then King Hezekiah of Judah sent word to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, "I have done wrong. Leave me. I will pay whatever you ask." So the king of Assyria had Hezekiah, king of Judah, pay him silver, weighing as much as 300 men, and gold weighing as much as 30 men. Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord, and in the storerooms of the king's house. Then he cut the gold off the doors of the Lord's house. He cut the gold from the sides of the door which King Hezekiah of Judah had covered with gold, and he gave it to the king of Assyria. Then the king of Assyria sent Tartan, Rabsaris, and Rabshakeh with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. So they went up and came to Jerusalem. They came and stood by the ditch of the upper pool, which is on the road to the fuller's field. When they called to the king, Eliakim the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah the son of Asaph, came out to them. Eliakim was the head of the house. Shebna was the writer, and Joah wrote down the things of the nation. Rabshakeh said to them, "Say to Hezekiah, this is what the great king of Assyria says. What is this strength of heart that you have? You say with empty words, 'I have wisdom and strength for war.' On whom do you trust that you have turned against me? Look, you are trusting now in Egypt. It is a walking stick like a piece of broken river grass. It will cut into a man's hand if he rests on it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. You might tell me, 'We trust in the Lord our God.' But is it not he whose high places and altars Hezekiah has taken away? And has he not said to Judah and to Jerusalem, 'You must worship in front of this altar in Jerusalem'? Come now, make an agreement with my ruler, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you're able to put horsemen on them. How can you fight back one captain among the least of my ruler's servants when you trust Egypt for war wagons and horsemen? Have I come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, 'Go up against this land and destroy it.'" Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah said to Rabshakeh,
Speak to your servants in the Aramaic language, for we understand it. Do not speak with us in the language of Judah. The people on the wall might hear it. But Rabshakeh said to them, As my ruler sent me to speak these words to your ruler and to you, and not to the men sitting on the wall, they are sure to suffer with you, eating and drinking their own body waste. Then Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in the language of Judah, saying, Hear the word of the great king of Assyria. The king says, Do not let Hezekiah lie to you, for he will not be able to save you from my power. Do not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, The Lord will save us for sure, and this city will not be given to the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for the king of Assyria says, Make your peace with me and come out to me. Then every one of you will eat of his own vine and fig tree, and every one of you will drink the water of his own well. Then I will come and take you away to a land like your own land. It is a land of grain and new wine. It is a land of bread and grape fields and olive trees and honey. There you will live and not die. But do not listen to Hezekiah when he lies to you, saying, The Lord will save us. Has any one of the gods of the nations saved this land from the power of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they saved Samaria from my power? Who among all the gods of the lands has saved their land from my power? So how should the Lord save Jerusalem from my power? But the people were quiet. They did not answer him a word, for Hezekiah had told them, Do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was the head of the house, and Shebna the writer, and Joah the son of Asaph, who wrote down the things of the nation, came to Hezekiah. They came with their clothes torn and told him the words of Rabshakeh. 2 Kings chapter 19. When King Hezekiah heard about it, he tore his clothes and covered himself with cloth made from hair. Then he went into the house of the Lord. He sent Eliakim, who was the head of the house, Shebna the writer, and the head religious leaders, to the man of God Isaiah the son of Amoz. They were covered with cloth made from hair. And they said to him, Hezekiah says, This day is a day of trouble, sharp words, and shame. For children have come to be born, but there is no strength to give birth to them. It might be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom his ruler, the king of Assyria, has sent to make fun of the living God. And the Lord your God might speak sharp words against what he has heard. So pray for those who are left of the Lord's people. The servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, Tell your ruler, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid because of the words you have heard spoken against me by the servants of the king of Assyria. See, I will put a spirit in him so that he will hear a made-up story and he will return to his own land, and I will have him killed by the sword in his own land. Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria fighting against Libna, for he had heard that the king had left Lachish. The king of Assyria was told, See, King Tirteka of Cush has come out to fight against you. So he sent men again to Hezekiah, saying, Tell King Hezekiah of Judah, Do not let your God in whom you trust lie to you by saying that Jerusalem will not be given into the power of the king of Assyria. You have heard how the kings of Assyria have destroyed all the lands, and you will be saved? Did the gods of those nations which my fathers destroyed save them? Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Eden who were in Telasser were destroyed. Where are the kings of Hamath, Arpad, and the city of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the men of Assyria and read it. Then he went up to the house of the Lord and spread the letter out before the Lord. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord, the God of Israel, you sit on your throne above the cherubim. You are the God, and you alone, of all the nations of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Turn your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to the word Sennacherib has spoken against the living God. O Lord, it is true that the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, made from wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. Now, O Lord our God, I beg you to save us from his power. Then all the nations of the earth may know that you alone are God, O Lord. Isaiah the son of Amoz sent word to Hezekiah, saying, The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I have heard your prayer to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria. This is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. She has hated you and made fun of you, the young daughter of Zion. She has shaken her head behind you, the daughter of Jerusalem. Whom have you spoken against? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes in pride? Against the Holy One of Israel. You have spoken against the Lord through the men you have sent. You have said, "With my many war wagons I have come up to the tops of the mountains, to the farthest parts of Lebanon. I cut down its tall cedar trees and its best cypress trees. I went to its highest places, where its trees are close together. I dug wells and drank the water of other lands. I dried up all the rivers of Egypt with the bottom of my feet. Have you not heard that I planned this long ago? From times long ago I planned it. Now I have made it happen, that you should destroy strong cities. That is why those who lived there did not have much strength. They were troubled and put to shame. They were like the plants of the field and the green grass. They were like grass on the roofs, killed by the sun before it is grown. But I know when you sit down, go out, and come in. And I know how you speak in anger against me. You have spoken against me in your anger and pride, and I have heard it. So I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will have you return by the way you came. This will be the special thing for you to see. This year you will eat what grows of itself. In the second year you will eat what grows of the same. Then in the third year you will plant seeds and gather food. You will plant vines and eat their fruit. And those who are left of the family of Judah will again take root and give fruit. For those who are left will go out of Jerusalem. Those who are still alive will go out of Mount Zion. This will be done by the power of the Lord. So this is what the Lord says about the king of Assyria. He will not come to this city or shoot an arrow there. He will not come to it with a battle covering or build a wall around it. He will return by the way he came. He will not come to this city, says the Lord, for I will help this city and save it because of my honor and because of my servant David. That night the angel of the Lord went out and killed 185,000 men among the Assyrian tents. When those left alive got up early in the morning, they saw all the dead bodies. Then King Sennacherib of Assyria left and returned home and lived at Nineveh. As he was worshiping in the house of his god Nisroch, Adrammelech and Sharezer killed him with the sword. Then they ran away to the land of Ararat. And his son Esarhaddon became king in his place. 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days Hezekiah became sick enough to die. The man of God, Isaiah the son of Amoz, came to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Get those of your house ready, for you will die. You will not get well again." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "I beg you, O Lord, remember how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart. I have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah cried much. Before Isaiah had gone out of the center room, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return to Hezekiah, the leader of my people. Tell him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. See, I will heal you. On the third day, you must go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. I will save you and this city from the power of the king of Assyria, and I will help this city because of my honor and because of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Bring a loaf made of figs. Have them take and lay it on the sore on Hezekiah's body. Then he will be well again." And they took and laid it on the boil, and he was healed. Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What will be the special thing for me to see, that the Lord will heal me, and that I will go up to the house of the Lord on the third day?" Isaiah said, "This will be the special thing for you to see from the Lord, to show that the Lord will do what he has said. Will the shadow go 10 steps farther, or go back 10 steps? Hezekiah answered, "It is easy for the shadow to go 10 steps farther, but let the shadow turn back 10 steps. So Isaiah, the man of God, cried to the Lord, and the Lord brought the shadow back 10 steps on the steps set up by King Ahaz. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, a son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a gift to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Hezekiah listened to them and showed them all his riches. He showed them the silver, the gold, the spices, the oil of much worth, the things used in battle, and all that was found in his storerooms. There was nothing in his house or in all the places of his rule that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the man of God came to Hezekiah and said, "What did these men say? From where have they come to you?" Hezekiah said, "They have come from a far country, from Babylon." Isaiah said, "What have they seen in your house?" And Hezekiah answered, "They've seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my riches that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. See, the days are coming when all that is in your house, all that your fathers have kept in store to this day, will be carried to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your sons who will be born to you will be taken away. They will be servants in the house of the king of Babylon." Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." For he thought, "Why not, if there will be peace and people will be safe in my days?" Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his strength are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah. He made the pool and the ditch and brought water into the city. Hezekiah died, and his son Manasseh became king in his place. Well, that Rabshakeh fellow certainly had quite a mouth, didn't he? Typical of the blowhard bully that he was, he tries to intimidate, manipulate, and subjugate the people. Not only does he slander Hezekiah, but he slanders God as well. But let's step back a bit. When we met King Hezekiah, Judah had been ruled by many evil kings, and Hezekiah's father was Ahaz, one of the worst. We should note that when a society, a culture, is trending further and further away from God, and there seems to be no hope of recovery, God can raise up a man or woman whom he will use to make things right. In chapter 19, Hezekiah was one such man. Our text says, Hezekiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. Well, of course, in this case, father means ancestor. But the word father is also used to illustrate how much like David Hezekiah was. And the text says that there was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, before him or after him. So, beloved, be encouraged. As we look around at our world today, it looks similar to Hezekiah's time. And as I recently mentioned on the show, I think that we're in the end times, but I'm not dogmatic about it. Maybe God has a different timetable for the coming of the Lord. And if that's true, we know that he just might, because he has in the past, send someone who will ignite a new passion for the things of God. Well, that's my prayer. As I prayed yesterday, O God, let there be a revival the likes of which has never been seen. I invite your comments. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. To find out what Bible translations I use today, go to the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Look for episode number 205. Tomorrow we'll read Psalms 87 through 89. And hey, did you listen to yesterday's show? At the end of the show, I asked you to send me an email if you were in agreement with me with what I said at the end of the show, even if you've never emailed me or interacted with the show before. Well, I have to say not many responded. Maybe you were too busy. I get it. But I'm going to ask again. If you listened and agreed with me to pray for God to restore our land, send me an email with the subject line, "I'm with you." That's all you have to do. You don't even have to write anything in the body of the email if you're too busy. Do it now, beloved, before you forget. And if you didn't listen to yesterday's show, go back and listen. I believe it's important. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb, and I'm glad you were here today. Bye.